Blog Talk Radio.
Retraction.
Oh, that's right. We forgot about that.
Okay, so we were telling you guys about when Mass Effect, it is Mass Effect, right? it is Mass Effect. We told you guys earlier in the week that Mass Effect was not going to be out until 2014 or 2015. And we picked this up from some other news outlets like we tend to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that is a flipping lie. I am not going to give the people who started spreading this lie any more press time because, of course, all the other news outlets are
seriously,
naming them.
You told me this yesterday. I was like, we discussed that?
Yeah,
we
did.
We got through so much news.
I just remembered it because it was Mass Effect, and that was also, you know, linked with the shooting and everything is why I remember. So just so you all know, that whole thing that we told you was a lie. There is a website that did this. It was a 25-year-old intern who was trying to make a name for himself, but now he has. He's made a bad name for himself. So, dude, And I'm
an intern.
Yeah, and I'm not going to even say your name.
Burgers. You know, like, fries with that?
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name. I would love to say his name to keep him from getting a job, but I don't want to say his name or the name of the website because even though the website has said that they fired him and they had no idea that he did this, I do believe this was some type of publicity thing that they were trying to get attention because now your name is everywhere. And, of course, people who are angry tend to pay more attention. And I know that because that's a tactic that we use here. I tease Ginger about being a troll, but I can be one, too. I'll go pick a fight somewhere because it's, you know, some of you only respond when you're angry. You don't come for good things. You come when you're angry. So,
you know what? Y'all bring it, people. I will troll you right back. I am not scared. That's like me and those ladies today.
Grr.
There's so many crazies out there. There are crazies out there every day.
Anyway, so Mass Effect will be out whenever it's out. BioWare has not said anything yet, especially they've not said 2014 or 2015. So don't believe that blatant lie. And we are sorry. We are sorry.
We're so sorry, but we're still not going to show you the boobs.
Well, I did tell them we were bottomless gaming via Twitter. You missed that one.
I saw that. And I was like, you know what? Usually I might say that's true, but no, I've got leggings on today.
Well,
so,
I'm bottomless.
It's too cold to be bottomless. I'm cold.
It's hot here. It is hot.
It's cold.
Well, it's not hot. It's like 70 degrees, which is it's breezy. It's nice.
Yeah.
I wish it would pick a side, actually. And then tomorrow is supposed to be super cold. So I'm actually having lunch with y'all today. I have a salad that's loaded down with good stuff because I'm getting ready because of this weather is usually what makes you sick.
I have already had my lunch today, so I had it a little bit earlier. It's 57 degrees today. I had to check 57. And yes, people, I know y'all are like, 57, dude, that's warm. That's like shorts weather. Shut up, you who live out there in the snow. This is cold.
I have a friend that comes to visit me every so often. Ginger knows what I'm talking about. I get to talk about that all the time. I open the door with the blanket and, you know, this hood over my head, and he's like, it is 57. It is not that cold. But he's from New York, so, yeah, I'm sure it's not cold.
It is cold. It's cold.
It's freezing.
Yeah.
All right, who's taking hot sauce?
Yeah, there are.
Did you take my hot sauce?
I may have taken your hot sauce. I'm going to steal your hot sauce. I'm not.
I go through all the trouble of getting a little bottle of Tabasco, and it's very tiny. It's 3 milliliters, and Ginger has stolen it.
Four. you know what? I think I have a whole bunch of those. I use this card to practice.
That's evil.
I'll send them to you. they come in all the little MRE packs, so. Anyways, several thousand cheater. Yeah, pumpkin eaters, your pants are on fire. Because Blizzard set them on fire. Blizzard bans several thousand Diablo 3 players for cheating. Blizzard has banned several thousand Diablo 3 players for using bots, according to a Battle.net forum thread.
Diablo woman, you know you're going to bring the angry gamers out if you don't get right. Diablo.
Right, so, in announcing the bans, Blizzard said that these kinds of acts, using cheats and exploits, are undermining the spirit of fair play, and that the company plans to release new tools in the early part of 2013 to make it easier for players to report bad player behavior and cheating to Blizzard. Oh my god, all the spam. So-and-so called me a such-and-such. I'm reporting you. All right, anyways, Blizzard community manager Lilira announced bans on the Battle.net forums. We've recently issued account bans to several thousand Diablo 3 players, yes, that's right, who are found to be using botting programs while playing. In addition to undermining the spirit of the play, botting, hacking, and other forms of cheating can also cause technical problems with the game as well as contribute to performance issues with the Battle.net service. As always, maintaining a stable, safe, and enjoyable online environment for legitimate players to run around calling everybody douchebags is very important to us, and we'll be continuing to keep watch on Battle.net and take action as needed. We will be adding the ability for players to report this kind of behavior directly through the game client in a future patch. So, yes, you will be able to virtually teabag people with reports. Interesting. I don't like this, but that's a whole other tangent that I... We had an incident earlier. I'll have to tell you about it later.
All I know is I have not gotten into Fallen Earth, and Killer Pillow is all over me. Like, where you be, the chickens is eating me. So
I plan on getting into Fallen Earth with y'all as soon as the rest of my computer parts are here. They are on the way.
Look, I'm jealous of you, but I had to throw it in Blaster's face last night that your computer was going to trump his. Because you remember when he got the new computer? I said, Ginger's PC is all that. Your little PC can't. Yes, I was snapping at him when he's like, whatever.
Yeah, my two other monitors came in just a little while ago. I agreed with the guy at the door. And by the way, I realized as I did that, don't wear bra.
You know what? Mm-mm.
It's like, oh, it's cold. Oh, hey.
He probably was like, hi, Ginger.
I think he'd just, you know, leave the box right there. Now, shoot.
You guys don't know how easy you have it. You can open the door without your shirt on. You can open the door in your underwear. Nobody's fazed. We come to the door like that. I open the door like that.
I got my hair pulled up, but I just threw my dress top on over my leggings earlier, and because, you know, I'm being lazy and don't feel like being dressed. So
I opened the door one day and forgot that I had on. It was summer, of course, and in Texas it's hot. Sometimes, you know, I have many bathing suits and I will put them on during the day. You stay cool that way, believe it or not.
So yes.
I opened the door and, you know, my little top and the bikini bottoms and was ordering pizza, and the guy was like, "Ah, it's like, what's wrong with you? Dude, give me my pizza. I'm hungry." I was like, "Oh, the bikini, you're gonna be all right. Give me the pizza." You're going to live. It's okay. Give me my pizza. So, yeah. But you guys have it lucky.
Give me pizza.
The guys, you guys don't realize how easy you have it. We open the door and everybody's all upset and everything. It's just closed. Now, if I open the door, it's closed, then you need to be like, hey.
Exactly. That will not happen.
No, that will not happen. Although it almost happened to me.
Pass the doorway area to go throw clothes on into the door.
I have opened the door clothesless, but I had a blanket, and it's because it was Jehovah's Witnesses, and you know how they are. They
How's that? That's awesome.
But and I'm standing there with blanket, like, yes. But they didn't see anything, but of course they could figure out, she is not wearing clothes. Yes, now that you have woken me up out of a dead sleep, what is it that you want? Yes, I am naked. You want to tell me about God? Thank you. Give me the book. Go. Okay, so Zuckerberg gave a charity a useless gift. That's right, people. He gave them $500 million in Facebook stock.
That's worthless.
I'm so evil. he gave it to a Bay Area nonprofit that focuses on improving access to education and health The beneficiary of this stock is the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which rewards grant money to local projects and causes. The gift of 18 million Facebook shares is valued at $498.8 million based on the company's closing stock price just today when he gave the donation. Entrepreneurs are increasingly popping up in the list of top philanthropists in the nation. The Chronicle of Philanthropy publishes a definitive list each year. In 2010, Zuckerberg made the top 10 tied with Salesforce.com's Mark Benioff. Last year, Oracle's Larry Ellison and eBay founder Pierre Oyar featured in the top 30. Zuckerberg's willingness to donate funds to local causes is a departure from the late CEO Steve Jobs, who kept a low profile in this regard, which I can appreciate as well. You should. You shouldn't be wanting to put your face all over. Just donate the damn money and be quiet. According to VentureBeat, while Jobs was reluctant to join Zuckerberg, Zuckerberg is a keen supporter of giving pledge. The effort headed by Microsoft founder Bill Gates and investor Warren Buffett to get the country's richest people to donate most of their wealth, because you can't spend it all, people, really. You should. If I had that kind of money, honestly, I'd be like, you know what, I can give it all away except for maybe $3-4 million, because I might want to splurge on a $1 million purse every once in a while, but you all can have the rest. I can't spend all this. Even if I was, you know, pass it on to my kids, grandkids, if I did the math, I had $498 million, okay, we'll keep 30, you all can have the rest. I just go around giving people money, just at random. I'm hoping to one day be able to do that. That's going to be a happy, fun day for me when I can go. I'm going to go to the bus stop.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to go to the bus stop, and I'm just going to sit there all day with a bag of money and just put it, hand it to people. Here.
It's 20. Here's 20.
And there'll be like a 20 and open it, and it's 20,000.
See, that would be nice. But, you know.
Yeah, then I got to move bus stops, because, you know, you can't stay right there once you do that. You got to move to a new bus stop.
That is true. You know, or hand out just $100 bills. $100, that's a lot of money to some folks.
Yes,
20,000 is a lot of money and can go to all sorts of stuff that it should.
Well, that's why I would pick the moms I see at the bus stops with the four kids. That's the person that I give the 20,000 to, because I know they're going to make good use of that. They're going to make that last for months.
Yes, yes. All right, so thieves.
Oh, this is good.
Thieves. Y'all, oh, my God.
Lean close.
Somebody.
Lean close to the speaker is good.
Somebody's going to get fired. Somebody's going to get sued. This was an inside job. Had to have been. Thieves still two. Two full semi-truck trailers worth of Wii consoles. So if you happen to see anyone trying to sell 7,000 Wii consoles, this is from GamePolitics.com. If you have, pick up, never mind. All right, so Sergeant Cindy West told ABC News that thieves pulled up two 53-foot semi-truck trailers and a large box truck van to an Nintendo distribution warehouse in Seattle Air Cargo last Saturday evening. While they were there, you know, they pulled up all three trucks. Nobody noticed them. They took forklifts from the site, drove them around, loaded up the vehicles with approximately $2 million worth of Wii consoles.
Oh,
then they left.
Gosh.
Nobody saw a thing. The following afternoon, warehouse employees noticed the empty pallets where thousands of Wii consoles were supposed to be. Police don't know how many people were involved with the heist. I'm going to say a couple. If we don't get any tips ahead of time, it will be the selling of these consoles that will lead to their capture. It's going to be pretty hard to hide 7,000 Wii game consoles. A Wii game console averages about $150 right now, so 7,000 of them would be a little over $1 million. And they're saying Wii consoles, but the A&E writer is saying that they think it's Wii U consoles. Oh, yep. A spokesman for the King County Sheriff's Office told Kotaku that the stolen consoles were indeed Wii U's. Wow, 7,000 Wii U's. Those are going to go on the black market? And you're going to pay a crap cent for them?
Where is this black market, and how can I go shopping there? Do they have sales? I'm just curious.
But you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to say Nintendo knows every last identifying code that belonged to those Wii U's that were stolen. And I'm going to say if those Wii U's try to connect to the Wii store, they're going to be bricked automatically. What do you want to bet?
Because Microsoft does. So we know if Microsoft is as advanced
you
as
know,
Nintendo is, yeah.
I mean, because I've worked in a store that used pallet stuff. We knew what was on what pallet. We knew where to go. So they're going to know the codes for each one of those that were stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I still have to think, that's got to be an inside job. Nobody saw that? I mean, they drove up two big semi-trucks and a smaller box truck, loaded that stuff up, help themselves to the flipping lift things. Nobody saw a thing. Not a thing. There was an alarm that went off. Nothing. Inside job.
Well, as I crunch on my carrots, all I got to say is, in regards to thieves, go big or go home. They did go big.
Nintendo is going to get you. Nintendo's going to turn you over their knee and just spank you a little bit.
Not in fun ways that we all like.
Mm-mm. Your pants are going to be down, but yeah, it's not going to be in a fun way.
Woo! Man. All right, so those of you who just heard that story, make sure you don't buy any Wiis off the street. Seriously.
No, no. So yeah, I would also watch any on eBay.
Pawn shops, Craigslist.
Yeah, all that. Sorry, folks. I mean, that would suck. You spend $300 to get one, and then...
it's bricked as soon as you put it up.
Yeah.
Because that's probably what's going to happen. All right, well, good luck with that, thieves.
But I bought it from such and such. Why can't I use it? Because you didn't buy from where you're supposed to have.
Well, you know, ironically, there was something like that. Don't ask me why I was watching Judge Judy yesterday. I just happened to be passing by the seat, and I saw that there were two geeks there, and one was suing the other because he bought a computer from him that didn't work, and that guy had bought the computer from Craigslist. And Judge Judy explained to them, she says, let me tell you, old school, it used to be back in the day when I lived in New York, there was a guy standing on the corner with his coat open, and you knew you took a risk, you bought something from him. Either what you were buying was fake, or it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
She said, so... you know, you have to kind of think of Craigslist as the coat open. You take a risk, especially with electronics. Even Judge Judy knows this, and she's not of our generation. And basically she told the guy, you're going to have to give him his money back and then take the computer and get the money, your money back from whomever got it. But turns out he admitted that, you know, he found out it was stolen. He gave the guys back. Everything worked out well. Everybody got what they needed back. But point being is, guys... you know, I don't, I tell my cousins often, I don't buy electronics off of Craigslist, eBay. I just don't.
No. The only thing I've ever bought off of eBay, electronic-wise, was a sound card.
Yeah, things like that.
Because it was like $20.
And things like that is hard to say it's stolen. But you people don't strip my computer press to sell them. They want to sell the whole thing. But like furniture, you know, shoes and things, yeah. But electronics, you know, for me, there's no warranty. I'm not going to yell it if it didn't work.
Exactly, exactly. And I am going to be ticked off if something of mine doesn't work. You know I'm going to be on the phone. Fix it now.
Yeah, so y'all be careful.
Next day delivery, 8 a.m. It better be on my doorstep.
That's right. And you can't do that if you bought it from Craigslist. I'm just saying. I have things like that. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. You've lost your money. Even if you get it and it works for a day, you just spent $300 for one, you know, iPad or whatever that doesn't work for a day. Buy it from someplace where you can take it back if it's not working, or you can get your money back or something. All right. Okay, guys, I was stalling because I wanted to make sure, because I just sent out a tweet with our next story. I want to make sure you all are listening. You're listening. Pick up your controllers.
I'm listening.
Yeah, pick up your controllers. Time to bear arms again, your controllers. Of course, in the wake of Friday's Newton, Connecticut elementary school shooting, the big question that's going around for politicians, pundits, and the public is what can be done to prevent tragedies like this from happening again. The loudest and most frequent calls for change, according to GameIndustry.biz, have come on the topics of gun control and mental health. But somehow we keep getting thrown into the mix. The influence of violent video games has been brought to the table. Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman discussed the shooting in an appearance on the Wall Street Journal's The Markets Hub. After access to guns and proper mental health care, Lieberman brought up violent video games as a third issue in need of addressing. And he's quoted as saying, we've got to again start the conversation about violence and the entertainment culture. Obviously, not everybody who plays a violent video game becomes a killer, but the social science is pretty clear here. No, it's not, Joseph. Particularly for people who are vulnerable because they do have mental problems. You know what we do? We screen them, and then you have a little stamp on their card saying they are not allowed to watch violent movies or play games. It's really easy. You don't have to... oh, God, I knew it. So the violence in our entertainment culture, he says, stimulates them to act out. No, it doesn't.
No.
They were crazy from get-go. Time political columnist Joe Klein raised his own concerns with violent entertainment in an appearance on ABC's This Week. He says, we not only have a Second Amendment in this country, we also have a First Amendment that protects Sylvester Stallone's right to fire thousands of bullets in any given movie. And he also said, what we need to do in this society is treat people who create violent movies and violent video games with some degree of respect, the same degree of respect we accord pornographers. They need to be shunned. Really? Wow.
Pornographers need to be shunned?
Wow. Okay, so David Axelrod, former senior advisor to President Barack Obama, expressed his own misgivings on Twitter Monday night, saying an NFL postgame and ad spot for shoot 'em up video games, all for curbing weapons of war. But shouldn't we also quit marketing murder as a game? Wow. Okay, so people, basically, and I'm going to keep this short and sweet. You guys make sure you keep an eye on Game Politics, videogamevoters.org, because you know it's time for, again, we're going to have to jump into the mix and quell the uprising that is coming from these crazy-ass people in the Senate, because the issue, as always, for them is that they are a generation removed from games and do not understand what the hell it is they're talking about. Hitler was not playing any games. Neither was what's his face in the compound. Neither was, you know, any number of people we can name before video games were in existence that were still killing people, and they had no movies to refer to.
Man has been killing people since he could pick up a stick.
Yes, and the only way at this point to try to curb it, in my estimation, my opinion, is we need to be screening for mental health the same way we screen for cholesterol and who has high blood pressure. It should be a part of a physical, and the kid should also be screened. It doesn't hurt to hire someone to come to work at the school, and that is their job. There's lots of psychologists and psychiatrists that need jobs anyway. Park them at a school, elementary, junior high, and senior high, and let them sit with the kid once a week or once a month, however long it takes them to go through every kid, separated by grade. Look, I'm even organizing it for you, separated by grade. This month it's the first graders, this one's the kindergartners. You talk to them, and you have a little nurse there. She takes a little bit of blood. You get the parents' permission. This is a, you know, trained nurse. We screen for this chemical imbalance. We talk to so-and-so. They sound like they're on track, or maybe they're not. But you can catch this when they're little. It can be caught. Same way as you catch autism. All the mental illness is an illness, period. And it has nothing to do with games or the movies they watch or the books. If they're acting out because they watch it, here's another thing. Once we've screened for this and say they have a propensity for being, you know, for mental illness, then you go to the parents and say, Billy or Sarah should not be playing GTA. They shouldn't be playing it anyway without the parents' permission. But do not let them play. This is going to affect them adversely. Just saying. Anyway, we probably need to have a roundtable about this at some point. Get our gamers on board, because this is and this other thing that irritates me is they never have any of us on these shows. ABC This Week, Fox News. Notice they never ask any gamers from the community to come on and speak because they don't want
to. Exactly, because we are much more intelligent than they would like for us to be, and we can actually argue intelligently and, you know, poke great big holes into their ideas.
Yeah, they don't want to have us on.
Yes.
And Joe is saying, he says he was pissed off when he heard they tried to pin this on video games. No.
No, the one person, the two people that I've not heard them pin this on that they should so far was the mother and father of this boy. He was a boy. Well, 24 years old, but he was not.
So he's 20.
Was he 20? I thought he was 24. 20.
No.
20 years old. Had these issues for a while. They knew about it. It came out in divorce papers. They did not get him the help and the treatment he needed.
Exactly. He needed help.
Yeah. She's dead. He's still alive. Or at least the father is. Sorry, that's what I meant. That's just horribly tragic for this, for everybody in it. Even the shooter. As much as we hate him right now, he should have gotten help.
He needed help. And I kind of like what I'm seeing, that they're now addressing mental health, but they are still not actually stepping up to the plate. They're still looking for some other scapegoat, and it's really as simple as he was mentally ill. The parents didn't do their job.
Well, nobody wants to blame themselves, and nobody ever wants to blame the parents for doing a horribly, horrible parenting job, because then people would actually have to step back and look at their own parenting.
Yeah. And they should have got him help. The parents should have been able to get him help, because I don't know what their state is like. I know here in Texas, you cannot have somebody committed until they try to attempt to do what he did. Which is ridiculous. Yeah. We really need to, that needs to be gone. If somebody suspects somebody's going to hurt somebody, I'm sorry, it may be embarrassing to them. They're like, we don't want to mess up their job. You go to their job, so you can't fire them, but we're going to have to take so-and-so down and, you know, examine them mentally. The same way as if they had a heart attack, you'd have to take them to the ER to make sure that they're, you know, able to be functioning and they're not going to die. We take Joe Schmo down to the ER, and we're going to have some psychologist talk to him for a couple days. You cannot fire him legally. You cannot. Matter of fact, you're going to have to pay him. And if he's fine, he comes back to work, and everything's good. And if he's not fine, he doesn't come back to work, so that he don't go into work and shoot up everybody. Really, people.
Exactly.
It's just it's another illness. I don't know why everybody has such a stigma around it. Oh, people are disgusting. Anyway.
They are.
All right, we got to move on. We're still.
I know. Tomorrow night, it's gloves coming off, people.
Oh, man. Yeah, there will be all kinds of swear words talking around.
Okay, so the love story, the epic story of how a small little company like Mojang rose to fame. All right, so Minecraft, big letters, Minecraft, the story of Mojang. Playing for free on Xbox Live December the 22nd, the day after the world ends. Xbox Live Gold members will get a wonderfully free treat this weekend, the world premiere of Two-Player Productions documentary about Minecraft developer Mojang. In February of last year, Two-Player Productions launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise $150,000 for shooting an all-encompassing documentary about the indie studio and its founder, Marcus Notchperson. By the end of the campaign, they managed to raise $210,000 for Minecraft, the story of Mojang. Not too shabby. The documentary covers the very first year of Mojang's existence and offers an inside look at the team that helped create one of the most popular, independently developed games of all time, Minecraft. All right, so Minecraft, the story of Mojang, will air for free. Free! For Xbox Live Gold subscribers, free on Saturday, December the 22nd. It will be available in 9 different countries, including the United States, United Kingdom, Ireland, France, and Sweden. Yay! Personally, I don't care, but yay!
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's great. Everybody comes from somewhere. So it's an awesome story, you know, and it's a good story for people who have a company out there that they're building up and it's taking forever. So something will happen. You just got to keep at it. Find out your niche.
However you want to say that word. All right. The people over at Goodyear Dunlop would like you to know, those of you who have relatives, children, nieces, nephews, whoever, that are young adults, teenagers, young drivers, probably a smartphone is not the safest present to be giving them for Christmas this year. More than 7 million people are likely to receive smartphones this Christmas. But new research by Goodyear reveals that the majority of young drivers are likely to put themselves in severe danger by using their new devices while they're driving. Novice drivers are naturally more at risk of becoming dangerously distracted with smartphones use only likely to exacerbate the issue. The Goodyear poll reveals how youngsters continue to phone, text, and surf the web even when they are at the wheel. 45% admit to speaking on the phone while driving, and 68% have seen their friends phoning while at the wheel. The survey, which probed the behavior of 6,400 young drivers 25 years of age and younger in 16 markets, that's in 15 European countries and South Africa, was designed to get inside the brain of the young driver and provide some interesting insights into the online generation on the road. The survey revealed a host of distractions competing for their attention as they climb into cars. And despite the fact that it is illegal in most countries, even some places here in the U.S., quite a few places actually, 44% speak on the phone without using a handset or hands-free while driving, which I do not understand. That is the stupidity of the young. Considered as more dangerous than phoning on the road, texting was also highlighted. 41% of newly qualified drivers admit to having sent texts, emails, or using messenger services while driving. And, God. Okay, so knowing that this distraction is a growing issue, Goodyear will be working with European Driving Schools Association, which we hope to filter over in this neck of the woods, to provide young people with more training on driving safely and responsibly on the road. Peoples, talk to your young peoples and explain to them that there's a little button on the side of most smartphones today. I'm going to say 95% of them have this, that you can push and you can talk into it. And that is also why, as much as we tease Apple about Siri, that is what she was made for. You pick up the phone, you push the button, Siri, text, blah, blah, and it'll send a text. It'll say, what would you like to say? I'm on my way. Siri says, text has been sent. Siri will read it back to you. And that's also available on your Droid phone, too. People, talk to your young people. If you need to make a call, you push the button. Call so-and-so. It'll call them. You put the phone to your ear, you talk. You hang up. It's not rocket science. You don't need to look at the phone. And is it serious enough to die for? Is you letting your girlfriend or boyfriend know you'll be there in 5 minutes serious enough to die for?
All of there's this cool little line on the side of the road, on the right side of the road. If you pull over, you can stop there for a short time. Pick up your phone. Make a call or text.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will bother you right there. If anybody pulls over, they're actually going to be asking, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all right. You can pull
there's
over
even apps,
in 2 minutes.
There's apps that we've told you about here on the show that will actually allow you, it'll automatically text somebody and tell them how far away you are. You don't have to do anything. Please don't die for the phone call.
Yes, exactly.
Have you seen that? Well, you don't watch TV. There's a commercial where they were explaining traveling at about 50 miles an hour and texting, just sending a text that says hello allows you to look down for about five to 10 seconds, and that is traveling the length, the equivalent of traveling the length of a football field blindfolded. And once I heard that, I said, oh, my God. You know.
Wow. That is freaky, people.
Yeah. In 5 seconds, you've traveled the length of a football field blindfolded, and you can't see. You're not looking up. You don't have to. You don't have to do it, people. Or wait till you get to a stoplight. That's what I generally do. I got to send a text, and I feel like I need to look at the phone because the text is not understanding what I'm saying, because if I told you I'm developing a lisp for some reason as I get older, then I stop at the stoplight. I'll be there in 5 minutes. And then I take off. I want my way to be there in 5 minutes. Send. And then I'm done. Stoplights. Stoplights are your friends.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Ridiculous. Anyway.
The end of days is upon us.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. How many more days we got? Ooh, 3 days to the zombie apocalypse.
Well, yeah, 3. All right, so.
Do you need zombie music?
I guess so. We're talking about the secret world.
Let's do it. All right, Ginger, tell them.
There we go. New end of days content update for the secret world live. Issue number 5, The Vanishing of Tyler Freeborn. Contains the Quantum Brace auxiliary weapon, a host of new missions, a brand new story arc, and a unique in-game End of Days event that begins on, oh yes, the End of Days, December the 21st. Funcom is excited to announce that issue number 5, The Vanishing of Tyler Freeborn, has just gone live. This update introduces much new content and also sets the stage for a very special in-game event called the End of Days. This event starts on the 21st of December and offers tons of new challenges. A competition is held during the event to reward those who do the most to stem the tide of the rising darkness. Catch the exclusive issue number 5 preview video narrated by game director Joel Bylos. Get a sneak peek into all the fresh content and some of the new and brutal monsters which bring the apocalypse. Yay! All right, so I've got a YouTube movie for you, a video. But it's up on new.gamingmatrix.com this morning. Head over there, check it out. I've got the full information on issue number 5. As you remember, the Secret World has gone free-to-play for a short time. I don't know about completely free-to-play, but for a short time it's free-to-play. And every month, they put out a new issue. More content, more quests, more monsters, more creepy Secret World stuff.
I'm jonesing for this. Viva la Illuminati! I can't say the other word. Illuminati, beep! Oh, that picture you just posted is adorable. I just shared it on our page. Adorable. All right, Microsoft is doing something wonderful. Microsoft, we bow to you.
They don't do anything wonderful.
They are. They're testing a Kinect therapy system for our soldiers.
Oh, that is cool. All right, that is wonderful. I take it back. That is totally wonderful.
Totally nice. Microsoft and the USAF, that's United States Air Force, for those of you who don't know your military acronyms, are testing the Kinect as part of a home therapy physical suite program for injured soldiers. According to GI.biz, they will also be discussing the project with Army Communications Electronics Research Development and Engineering Center, and I'm not going to even try to say that acronym. According to a report by Defense News, the Kinect hardware is partnered with InfoStrat's ReMotion 360 physical therapy software. Phil West, who is the Microsoft Director of the Public Sector Solutions, said that Microsoft is committing R&D and marketing resources to ensure that the Defense Department community is aware of the capabilities of the product, as well as the breadth of our partner community, which includes the system integrators. The targeted scenarios include therapy-related functions, but they also span training and simulation, interactive user interfaces, and blah, blah, blah. The project is part of Microsoft's efforts to use the Kinect outside of the consumer market with focuses on enterprises and public sector utilization. Other defense-related organizations, including Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization, good God, Army Medicine, the Navy's Bureau of Medicine, Lockheed Martin, if you don't know who they are, you should, because they make locks, that's all they do. SIAC and Kaki have looked at the inexpensive motion tracking capabilities of the Kinect for other purposes as well. Microsoft is also looking into using the Kinect to connect post-traumatic stress disorder sufferers with group therapy sessions. How nice! They can use avatars, which will allow you some anonymity.
That is
also
neat.
Right, but also allows for representatives who are therapists or licensed psychiatrists to connect with them as well. Therapists can say, I know who you are because I have your case file. No one else in the room has to see your face, which gives them the courage to talk through their problems while being able to remain anonymous, which is, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to talk because they don't want everybody to see them. So awesome, Microsoft. What a wonderful thing you're doing with Kinect. That's what we like to see.
Yes.
The stuff
yes,
right there.
That is awesome. All right, y'all have got to go to the Facebook. Beyond the picture that I just linked, that is really awesome, there is something from Cheeseburger that I just linked.
Ken has Cheeseburger?
Yes. You know what? I wasn't going to read it. I'm going to have to read it because it's really short.
Do it.
My mother called me today. She put my youngest sister on the phone. Tell your big sister what you told me earlier today, she says. My baby sister replies, Mommy told me to clean my room today. Yeah, did you give her a hard time, I say? Well, she begins, matter-of-factly. I told her that entropy says that the universe is moving towards a more disordered state. Disorder means messy. If the universe is messy and breaking rules is wrong, then breaking universal rules is wrong, too. Mommy wanted me to break the rules of the universe. Where did you learn this? Well, you and Daddy were talking about science. She's only 9. She's going to be smarter than me. Seriously, that's true. That is like the best reason ever not to clean your room. I'm sorry. That was totally geeky and cute, and I had a reason.
It is adorable. Oh, my gosh.
That is awesome.
By the way, Baby Natrix told me something about what did she tell me? She was explaining to me something, and I said, no, that's not right. She says, well, hyperbole dictates. I said, you know what? I'm done talking to you. You are using the word hyperbole and dictates, and it says, I'm done talking to you for the rest of the night. And she says, what? I says, you're too smart for your own good. Go to bed.
Wow.
This was after we did pizza last night. She comes in, well, hyperbole dictates that. I was like, stop.
No. Bedtime right now. Bedtime now.
It is over.
Way too smart.
Remember I told you she's still talking about the interdimensional travel thing?
You know, she may do it.
I don't want her to do it. I told if you're going to do stuff like that, wait till I'm dead. I don't want that whole black hole thing. I don't want to be here when that happens. I said, you're going to be the one to discover that dark matter. That's going to be your legacy, and it's not a good one. She's like, I'm going to do it right. It won't collapse on it. I was like, no, stop.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I love her. She's so cool.
Yeah, you can have her. I'm going to put her in a box and ship her to you. There'll be holes in it. Don't worry.
Spoil her. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What are you two talking about, you and Jay? Eating random flowers.
Oh. Talking about how games influence us.
Oh. You know, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm talking about how the My Little Ponies game made me race the cart and crash it into a barn.
I don't know about you all, but I run around yanking up flowers like a la Animal Crossing and looking for ducks to talk to all day. That's what I do.
All right.
And shaking trees, trying to see if furniture will fall out. You heard us say shaking trees, seeing if furniture will fall out.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so since that one wasn't really a story, I'm going to do another one. Indie Royale launches the Xmas Bundle 2.0.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Indie Royale has launched its Xmas Bundle 2.0, offering a pay-what-you-want bundle just in time for the holidays.
Pay-what-you-want? Really? Y'all might want to think about that.
The bundle includes... Oh, my God. The bundle includes such indie titles as the physics-based puzzle game Colorbind from Finn Morgan, Kyle Pulver's... You know what? I think I read this yesterday. Never mind. You know what? I'll pull out Samuel L. Jackson. Here we go. Samuel L. Jackson has a voice, and he's speaking up. Video games and movies have nothing to do with recent shooting.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you, Sam. You need some of this right here.
Thank you. I mean, being like epic badass himself, talking to LA Times, promoting his new Quentin Tarantino movie, Django Unchained, actor Samuel L. Jackson said that fewer guns are not necessarily the answer in the wake of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings that resulted in the death of 20 children and 6 adults. Jackson also said that statements against violent media like video games and movies have little to do with shootings that have happened recently. He says, I don't think it's about more gun control. I grew up in the South with guns everywhere, and we never shot anyone. Shooting is about people who aren't taught the value of life. We need to stop deranged people from getting access to guns. On the topic of video games and movies, Jackson said, I don't think movies or video games have anything to do with it. Samuel L. Jackson recently served as the host of the 10th Annual Spike Video Games Awards. While Democrats and gun control advocates are calling for new gun control laws, Republicans and gun advocates are pointing the finger at a culture of violence. Yeah, we already talked about that. We're not going to go there. We've already been down that Thursday night, here, 9 o'clock, Central Standard Time. We will do this.
We will do this properly.
Yes.
We will do this, and ears will bleed, because, I'm waiting to say the words I want to say. You may have to make that show rated, like, A-O.
I don't fix my bed for the same reasons why I don't tie my shoes after I take them off. What? Jay, what are you talking about? I'm confused now.
He's talking about the chaos, the disorder thing you were talking about.
Oh, I don't fix my bed because I'm lazy, and I don't untie my shoes because, well, lazy. So I just slip them on and off. They become slip-ons with laces.
I just don't wear shoes that have laces. Of course, I wear heels, but yeah.
No, I don't want to fall and break my head. Thanks.
See, you have missed the whole point of that. I fall on purpose and next to cute guys.
Oh, Vanna.
I'm so sorry. Grab one to the arm. Ooh, do you work out? Hey, it works.
Very nice. I will take your word for it.
All right, FTC and Google. Yeah. All right, so if you were expecting that the Federal Trade Commission was going to announce its final decision on the antitrust investigation into Google this week, well, you can stop holding your breath because it will not happen till next year, according to Bloomberg. FTC.
Okay, it's the holidays. They're all like, mm-mm.
Yeah, nobody wants
that eggnog. We're not dealing with
it. You know what? I picture somebody at the FTC doing that. They got eggnog in one hand and they got a fork and they're eating cake and they're like, you want to talk about Google? Mm-mm. Let's just do it next year. No, I don't want to do it right now. I'm good. Okay, so the FTC, of course, has been looking into Google's search business for the past 20 months for anti-competitive behavior. Earlier this week, you also might have heard that Google was planning to change its business practices, including no longer copying data from rivals like Yelp and allowing customers to compare Google ad campaign with other sites. Additionally, the FTC was also readying a consent decree that would make it more difficult for Google to ban competitor products over patents that it already decided to license on reasonable terms. Yeah, so no more of this petty bickering back and forth. The moves by Google and the FTC could resolve the antitrust investigation without an actual settlement, something that's obviously sparking concern among search competitors. FairSearch.org and a consortium of Google competitors, including Microsoft, sent the following statement to Bloomberg. Questions about Google search bias and other anti-competitive practices will not end if FTC fails to take legally binding action to protect consumer innovators in the U.S., where the market conditions and law are different than in the European territories.
Interesting.
Oh, have you seen this new Visa card that lights up?
I haven't. You'll have to show it to me in a little bit.
Well, I will actually tell you all about it here in a second. Let me do a little bit of research because this just popped up in front of me.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and move on while you do that.
Yeah.
The WarZ developers, have you done this? This sounds familiar. WarZ? The WarZ developers apologize to consumers who misread Steam product page. The WarZ developer Hammerpoint Interactive sort of apologized to gamers who might have misread, in air quotes, the game's Steam product page and took a shot at, again, air quotes, extreme DayZ fanboys. Yesterday, Hammerpoint released their zombie survival game on Steam, much to the delight of any users who were looking forward to playing it. The game ended up being pretty popular. In fact, it had the most sales of any game on its launch day. But then fans struck back at the developer, claiming that the game they had purchased lacked a lot of features that were promised on the product page. All right, so a Reddit user managed to capture a screen grab from the product page with all of its promised features before the page was quickly altered to be in line with what features it actually contained. All right, so what were they promised that they didn't get? Well, the original product page listed multiple maps that were supposed to be 100 to 400 square kilometers in size, the ability for 100 people to play on a single server, rentable private servers, a skill system, and a friends list. The game, which developers called a foundation release, offers only one map and the ability for 50 players to play per server. The product page has, of course, been updated on Steam. Responding to consumer complaints about false advertising, executive producer Sergey Smith acknowledged that his company made a mistake with the Steam product page. What's he saying? He says, as you all know, we launched the game on Steam yesterday. Okay, we're number one on top grossing game on Steam right now. Thank you guys for your support. At the same time, it was clear that there were a number of customers that felt that information about the game was presented in a way that could have allowed for multiple interpretations. Yes, dude, imagine that. If you put up the information saying, hey, we're going to give you all this and then don't, I wonder why they're angry. We've taken steps to correct this and format information presented on our Steam store page in a way so it provides more clear information, or in other words, so that we're not just flat out lying to you about the game features that are present in the foundation release that does not have all the goodies, and what to expect in the coming weeks. We also want to extend our apologies to all players who misread information about the game features. In other words, we're so sorry that we posted the wrong thing. At the end of the day, our goal is to serve our players as best as we can, and we love when you guys steer us in the right way of doing it. In other words, we're not giving you your money back. In another interview, Mr. Smith, from now on, says that those who were misled by the product page and still insist on a refund can get one through Steam on their website. They are getting refunds, but of course it sounds like you're going to have to jump through hoops for it. I'm sure there will be people who will look into small details and will say, no, I was misled. Small detail, you put it up there on your great big page.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Big lettering.
Oh, she's in a high
register. We're going to give you this, we're going to give you B, we're going to give you C. And then you're like, you know what, nah, you can just have D.
Be afraid.
Exactly. Be afraid. Be very afraid. See, I don't think about getting this game. No, I don't want to. So, meh.
Which game was this again?
War Z. It's a zombie game.
Is it based on World War Z?
No.
Not that I want a game based on that. Movies don't generally scare me like that. Movie trailers where I get chills. I'm not, you know, I wonder where Baby Matrix gets it from, but actually she gets it from me. Not much actually scares me. Nothing, you know, straightforward like that. You have to get inside my head and get me thinking about something crazy.
Yeah. So
like interdimensional travel and, you know, black holes and things collapsing, those types of things. So
that Dinosaurs do it for me.
That movie, when I saw the trailer, I am frightened. And I'm going to go see it, and I'm going to be like popcorn in the mouth. Oh, that's what I'll be doing with my leg all pulled up. Oh, no, stop that. No. Yeah, that's what I'll be doing. Anyway, speaking of scary things, apparently Aeon has gone free to play, and I thank you people over thank you people over at GameForge for sending us a press release regarding this. However, das nicht grobt auf die, yeah, that's in German. I can't read that.
It went free to play months ago.
Well, it's in Europe apparently, from what I can glean from the little bit of German I do understand.
So now you Euros can play for free too.
Yeah, I see 300 million registered something. Spielen ist GameForge. Yeah, my German sucks. I'm sorry. That's all I know. I can read here that they got 3 million people signed up that you can play now for free. They got a patch 3.5 that's supposed to update it to free to play.
More Deva stuff!
Yes. So I'm going to move on to my other story here.
Okay.
You people that do have a legitimate Wii U will be happy to hear about this next one. One of Nintendo's key selling points, of course, for the Wii U is it's ready to go live just today. The company has announced its TV, I guess you pronounce it. It's TV with two eyes at the end.
TV,
I guess, will launch here in the U.S. and Canada just tomorrow. However, some aspects of the service won't go live until early next year. And don't start freaking out, because early next year is just a few weeks away. Quit freaking out.
Oh, my God, but it's next year.
Yeah.
So far away.
Stop flipping out. TV, as we're going to call it, because we don't know what to call it, is a video content aggregation feature which allows users to access your favorite services like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Video on Demand from your Wii U with additional second screen features enabled by the game's gamepad controller. Nintendo has also partnered with, get this, cable and satellite TV providers to allow their subscribers to view channels and programs through the console. That's all kinds of hot. Okay? That's sexy. It means you can sit and somebody else can have the TV and they're watching something and you're somewhere else in the house with this little pad. You don't have to even pay for a second box, people. See what I'm saying here? Less money. You take it. You take your little pad controller and you say, you know what, Billy, I'm sick of you. I'm going in the other room and I'm going to watch Walking Dead over here while you watch this Mad Men or whatever you're watching. See how that works? So anyway, Nintendo has also, wait a minute, I already read that. Okay, the service will feature a social layer, so you can post about what you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, on Miiverse. Now, initially, the TV feature will only feature cable and satellite provider integration with us here in the U.S. It's also getting access to Amazon's Instant Video and Hulu Plus accounts. And, of course, early next year, you'll get your Netflix. It also will have TiVo functionality.
Oof.
This is sexy. Okay, so although Netflix is already accessible through your dedicated Wii U application right now, if you have a Wii U, TiVo is a free feature. Free. We said free. F-R-E-E free, as in no Xbox Gold subscription. You can just get your Wii and you're ready to go. But you'll still need to, of course, pay your subscription to your cable company if you want to be able to use that over your Wii U. That is sexy. Oh, my God. Hands above the desk. I told y'all they had some stuff up their sleeves, and there are going to be some more things I'm sure we're going to be hearing about in a couple of weeks.
You know, if they bring COD or stuff like that to the Wii U, there's going to be, like, a mass exodus from
Xbox. The issue here is that developers are not able to think outside of their normal parameters of what to do with a second console thing. They're just not. That's why you don't get those games now, because they've opened it up. Some of you developers just need to sit down. What you do is you get you one of these guys out of school and you say, tell you what, dude, you're going to be an intern, but if you come up with an idea of how we can integrate COD with this second controller and this Kinect bar, you are hired here. We will sign you on with a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You will come up with the most amazing game ever.
Exactly.
I can't think of any way to use it myself, but somebody out there has an idea.
I'm thinking some kind of way of connecting it to a gun where that little screen is a map.
I think a lot of them are doing that already, but God, we gotta. Okay, you know what? Before we go on to the next tour, you people over at Larian Studios, no more singing. Stop it. Thank you for the Christmas card. Just don't do it anymore. Stop it.
Oh my God, that bad?
It's up on YouTube. I will share it with you all, but I'm gonna need y'all not to sing. They made the game Divinity: Original Sin, which you've heard us tell you about here, but I'm gonna need y'all not to sing ever again.
Interesting. All right, so speaking of sexiness, oh, yes.
Speaking of what?
Sexiness.
Ooh.
Brenda Romero, named game designer in residence at UC Santa Cruz, and she is hot, guys. Game designer. Seriously, that's even hotter.
Work.
All right, so the game developer Brenda Romero has been named the first game designer in residence at UC Santa Cruz. Mrs. Romero, oh, sorry, folks, she's already married, joins the UCSC's Center for Games and Playable Media to teach courses and work with students, faculty, and researchers on all things related to video game design. Mrs. Romero, who you may know better by her maiden name Brenda Brathwaite, is co-founder and
Royalty. I curtsied when you said that, just by reflex.
Yeah, that is who she is. Is co-founder and chief operating officer to Loot Drop Incorporated, where she plans to continue working on game titles currently in development with her husband, John Romero, and his longtime collaborator and friend,
what?
Tom Hall.
Whoa, hold up. Her and John got married?
Yes.
Oh, my God. He's the house that we were at. Okay, I'll tell you later.
Oh, all right.
Congratulations, you two. I'm so excited.
That's so cool. All right, so the new Game Designer in Residence program brings a leading game designer to UCSC to teach courses and serve as an advisor and resource for game design students, faculty, and researchers on campus. This one-year, 80% appointment includes teaching foundational courses in game design and gives students an opportunity to learn directly from an expert practitioner. Her appointment starts on January the 1st of 2013, as long as the world does not end in 3 days. It is tremendously exciting to have Brenda Romero as UCSC's first game designer in residence, says Jim Whitehead. Oh, what an unfortunate name. Professor and chair of computer science in the Baskin School of Engineering. She brings to the position over 30 years of experience in game design and an extensive understanding in the business of games. She is an innovator in the teaching of game design.
It is
huge that our students will have the opportunity to learn directly from her. She even gave somebody a comment. It's amazing. It's an amazing position like a game designer. It's amazing a position like game designer in residence exists. To have an opportunity to work on designs with students without constraints allows me to explore some designs that I've not yet been able to explore. My husband, of course, a game designer, John Romero, and I have been to UCSC numerous times, and his dual focus on design and coding gives everyone a much stronger possibility space to draw up. A much stronger possibility space to draw from. I cannot read. Whee! Awesome. So way to go, Mrs. Romero. That's amazing. And congrats on your nuptials.
You know what else we love about her?
What do we love about her?
She wrote a book, and we're in it.
Yay!
And I want to say something to do with game design or women in game design, so pick that up. We have a little featured spot in it. So I'm so excited for her.
Yes, that's so awesome.
Yes, I have curtsied to her before.
She's cute.
She's a gorgeous woman. She's absolutely gorgeous. You would look at her and think that she did something like, you know, she owned a fashion boutique or something. She's very pretty and a very nice woman.
Sea hot, great personality, and a gamer. Creates games, even coder. Oh,
yeah.
I need new panties.
I had the pleasure of working with her on a game we never finished back in 2005, 2006. We were making for Women in Games, which I hope can pick up and run at some point again. But they started that for them to be mentors, and she worked with us on the game. I can't say anything about the design. I think I'm still under NDA for that one, but I can say it was called Henched, and it was it would have been a casual game where you are the henchman. You collect the loot for the heroes. So you have to pick up all the good stuff for them to use as weapons, you know, stuff that the monsters would drop. Isn't that a good idea? And she came up with it.
Yeah,
so, and I did the dialogue because, as y'all know, I'm crazy. And she was an excellent mentor. I was just so excited to get to work with her and the stuff that she comes up with. She really is brilliant, girl. Sadly for y'all, she's taken. She's a brilliant woman. I'm all like, I'm so excited for her. And yes, I curtsied to her when we did the women's thing, her and Clarissa Mary, but I walked up and they were like, what are you doing? I was like, gaming royalty must curtsy. Why aren't y'all wearing crowns and capes?
Yes. That would have been awesome.
All right, you know what? Guess what it's time for?
What time is it?
It's time to go!
Oh, it is time to go.
It's time to go!
All right, people, are you really buying extreme bunkers for the end of the world? Come on. It's the end of the world. Honey, I don't care how deep you bury yourself in the ground. It's the end of the world. That's why they call it the end of the world. Not the end of everything on the topsoil and above. No. End of the world.
What can we tell them, people? I don't know. Anyway, you guys, we're out of here. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow. You know where to find us. GameAndMatrix.com, new.GameAndMatrix.com.
Twitter.
Facebook. Instagram.
No. You haven't heard about that? Instagram's a no-go no more. Everybody, we are boycotting Instagram. I don't remember what for, but there was a reason.
Well, she said so. We're doing it. Bye, Instagram. It's over. We're breaking up.
Because the new privacy policy says they are allowed to sell all your information, your pictures, everything.
That's
you
right.
Don't die.
Mm-mm. You know what, Instagram,
so no more Instagram.
Breaking up. Put your stuff, get your stuff in the box by the door. To the left, Instagram, to the left.
Exactly.
All right, people, we're out of here.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Jay, she did it. Drive right through the needle's eye. Oh, my. I got a stereo. You just gotta turn the knob, and maybe we'll go as far as we can. I'll be your garbage man. I'll take out your junk and I'll crush it down. Jesus, in the rear view, and the highway patrol is up ahead. In my garbage truck, I'll never throw you away. When you're old and gray, we'll just roll it away. Jan?